After some summer heat, has economic growth turned cold? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The government today revised upward its calculation of economic growth summer to fall. The updated gross domestic product came in at a quite strong 3.5% annualized. That's more than expected and more than double what was happening at the start of the year. Let's go to Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So third quarter gross domestic product went up from 3.2 to 3.5% annualized. I mean, I guess we'll take it, right, especially compared to the quarter that came before this.
And the quarter before that, yes, we will. It's a reacceleration in growth, and it does confirm that what something we already knew, and that is that we really did regain some traction over the summer after what was a really lousy first half of the year.
What do you think now? Think the quarter we're living in now will also be relatively strong?
It's going to be a little weaker. If we're looking at less than 2%, we'll end the year somewhere around 1.6, 1.7%. That'll be one of the weakest years of the expansion so far, and it's not been a terrific expansion so far, but at least it's up quite a bit from almost no growth in the first half of the year.
Should I even ask about 2017 with all the policy changes that are projected and promised and perhaps on the way?
Or not. There lies the rub, is we have no idea. There's a lot of promises. There's no policies, and there's not even an outline of them in terms of which way they're going to go. They're going to help or hinder growth or both.
Something to cover in 2017. Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's news Honda of Tokyo and Waymo of Mountain View are teaming up to work on self-driving cars. Waymo is part of the Google empire. Chrysler already has a deal with Waymo. Meanwhile, California's Department of Motor Vehicles has lowered the regulatory boom on Uber, which has itself been testing self-driving cars, but without a permit. Uber thought it could get away with it because there was always a person in the driver's seat copping a look ma no hands attitude. Uber says it'll find another state in which to test its cars, and thus we inch ever closer to this autonomous future. Joining me is Jamie Kittman, a lawyer and New York editor for Automobile Magazine, an occasional Marketplace contributor, who wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times this week questioning some of the assumptions of techies, car companies, and policymakers who just love the vehicles that drive themselves. Morning, Jamie.
Hi, David.
So federal regulators, technology, and car companies all very happy about this emerging technology. Even you think it's promising, but what's your beef?
In the discussion that's occurred so far, in Congress, certainly with what we can tell about the Trump administration, has been absolutely, let's do this thing, and not as much, whoa, let's think about this. A lot of this has been oversold, and people have accused me of being a Luddite in the wake of this column. But the truth is that, you know, I'm absolutely all for technology. We just have to see what the best way to do it, what the implications are, and we've never done that before, really, and this would be a good time to start.
And as for the public investment, I mean, some of it is research and development, but some of it is what? Smoother pavement, better roads.
Yeah, there's huge infrastructural costs, and there's the cost of all the technology. And the roads infrastructure, which driverless cars will be very dependent on, is already starved, you know, by some estimates, over $1 trillion of not enough money being spent on fixing our roads. And autonomous cars need, you know, smooth roads with clearly marked lanes and things like that, a lot of which don't exist now.
You're not buying claims of environmental benefits? You're not buying claims of public safety benefits, lives saved?
Well, no, I'm not saying I don't buy them. I just don't think that they've been completely established, certainly not with the level of certitude that you'd want before spending $1 trillion. One claim benefit is that they'll reduce congestion because cars will be able to be slotted in very tightly and they'll be able to run at high speed together. But, you know, the truth is that there are a lot of places that they don't need any more cars. It doesn't matter, you know, how clean they are, how intelligent they are. You know, in Beijing or Shanghai or Atlanta on the highway, there's just no more room for cars. It's money that won't be being spent, you know, building trams and trolleys and subways that are much more efficient ways to move people. And frankly, high-speed rail is a much cheaper, more efficacious solution.
Attorney and car columnist Jamie Kittman is New York editor for Automobile Magazine. Jamie, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Now, if politics is really about apportioning resources, that is to say, who gets the money, there's a lot of change coming this next year. Help us explain, explore, and elucidate these stories as only my crew here at Marketplace can. I'm here to ask you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep it coming to you. It would be especially helpful to us if you donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Hospitals and other healthcare facilities have an ongoing problem. It's hard to find staff like home health aides and medical assistants. A new Obama administration report suggests that hospitals need to strengthen ties to community colleges, even high schools. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Hospitals are struggling to fill frontline staff positions. That means opportunities for people with little more than a high school diploma. Jennifer Stewart, one of the study authors, says this is critical for the future.
There's going to be huge demand for nursing assistants right off the bat. The median annual pay for that in 2015 was almost $26,000.
Stewart, with the hospital consulting firm The Advisory Board, says hospitals are also on the hunt for pharmacy and surgical technicians. Those jobs pay in the $30,000 and $40,000 range. These positions are growing at three times the rate of overall employment. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Some community colleges are already taking advantage of this, like in Spokane, Washington. Chancellor Christine Johnson says they're working hand in glove with local healthcare providers to develop their curriculum.
Doing employer surveys, what do they think is most important? So it isn't just the college and the faculty saying, okay, here's what we think you need.
That sort of collaboration is the first step toward meeting this dire need. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And President-elect Donald Trump has picked billionaire activist investor Carl Icahn, famous for corporate takeover deals, to give advice on overhauling federal regulations, an informal role, and University of California economist Peter Navarro, a vivid critic of U.S.-China trade policy, will run a new National Trade Council that's getting set up in the executive branch. If you miss our coverage on the air, it's now on the first podcast of the day. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.